Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we have a little bit quieter of a news day for Tesla after all the excitement earlier this week. We'll talk a little bit about the stock. We've also got an updated note from Morgan Stanley, some reporting on how Tesla reports, regulatory credits, news on Hertz, updates from Stellantis and Toyota, and a couple other items as well. Alright, so after looking like it was going to continue breaking out this morning, Tesla fading a little bit in afternoon trading alongside the broader markets, but still managing to perform relatively well, finishing in the green up 0.5% to $999.11, while the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ were all down about 1.25%. So, not by a lot, but the streak does continue. This is the 7th trading day in a row that Tesla's share price has increased. Tesla is now just a 5.8% gain away from being positive on the year. As we've seen so far this week, that could happen in as little as a day. Given the lighter news day, I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of look ahead and see what's coming next week, as we are now just 1 week and 1 day away from the end of Q1 already. That means delivery numbers coming up, and as far as things on the calendar from a macro perspective, I think it should be relatively stable next week. Nothing here looks all that critical. Obviously, a lot of unscheduled things going on. We'll have to pay attention to that too, but from a calendar perspective, nothing alarming there as we head into the delivery report towards the end of next week. So the quarter will end on Thursday. As we can see here, Tesla has started to become very consistent, releasing the delivery and production numbers 2 days after quarter end. So we can have pretty high confidence that those will be released next Saturday, April 2nd, likely sometime in the morning in the US. We've been kind of tracking delivery and production numbers throughout the quarter, but I will have my final forecast for that sometime next week. All right, moving on to the Morgan Stanley note, a quick one here, really just an amendment to their note last week about their expectations for Master Plan Part 3. We didn't go through that one in detail. I went through my own expectations, which didn't really align with this note, but it looks like they may have hit at least the first main point here. They talked about connectivity with other parts of the quote-unquote Muskonomy and said, quote, "We look for Tesla to explore complementary ways to collaborate with Elon Musk's other companies, specifically the Boring Company, an infrastructure company, and communications, SpaceX's Starlink unit. We have long seen the link between LEO satcoms and next-gen transport networks," end quote. Well, lo and behold, we now know that Elon plans to address both SpaceX and the Boring Company in Master Plan Part 3. I'd expect it to be in different ways than what Jonas is suggesting here, but hey, it's already broader than what I'd expected, so we'll see. He also expects them to talk about Tesla Aviation, wouldn't expect that. Tesla Inside, so basically sourcing batteries, things to do with scale like next level manufacturing, reconfiguring the EV supply chain, Tesla network services, recurring revenue, Tesla Bot, and of course, autonomy. So Jonas today adding to that list, saying that, quote, "We forgot to include one really big item, our energy grid. If it wasn't already clear to investors, events of the past month have reinforced the relationship between energy security and national security. Energy security equals national security," end quote. He then shares some thoughts on the energy grid and kind of distills it down to the possible expectation of, quote, "We would not be at all surprised to see vehicle-to-grid / bidirectional charging capability being a requirement for all vehicle sales at some point in the future," end quote. I'd be surprised to see something like that discussed in Master Plan Part 3 given the comments that Elon and Tesla have made on the subject before, but I would agree with how Jonas concludes this thought, which says, quote, "Loads of investor attention has been focused on battery electric vehicles. Over time, we expect to see grid-level stationary storage receive significantly more attention for its role in enabling renewable generation and greatly reducing dependency of power generation from fossil fuels," end quote. I could definitely see Elon breaking out some math on converting over to renewables and storage in Master Plan Part 3. That would definitely tie to his comments about getting Tesla to extreme scale. We've obviously heard Elon talk about Tesla's plans to scale up to 3 terawatt hours per year, but maybe this will put it in context of what the world needs to do. All right, next up today, we've got some reporting on how Tesla handles reporting for regulatory credits. This was covered by Bloomberg and picked up a couple of other places as well. I'll just read it before sharing my thoughts. It says, quote, "Tesla Inc. revealed in its recent annual financial statement how much regulatory credits fueled its profits only after U.S. market regulators compelled it to do so, documents released Wednesday show," end quote. They go on to say that the Securities and Exchange Commission told Tesla to justify why it lumped auto sales and lucrative sales of government credits into the same income statement line items in Tesla's 2020 10K annual filing. Tesla defended it, saying that because regulatory credits weren't more than 10% of revenue, they weren't required to break it out. The SEC disagreed, basically saying it had a material impact on gross margin, and Tesla decided to make a change. Now, all of this is very unimportant because anyone that pays any attention to Tesla's financial filings is very well aware of the influence that regulatory credit sales have on the business. That's why every single quarter we factor those out. We're able to do that because Tesla discloses what the regulatory credit impact is. So this is really just a reporting thing with the 10K. The way that Bloomberg writes it, you would think Tesla's trying to hide something. They're not. It's just a case of Tesla explaining why they didn't feel like they needed to report it in a certain way, the SEC disagreeing, and then Tesla saying, fine, we'll report it in that way. So, hardly worth the time to talk about it, but wanted to make sure that we covered it just to clear up any confusion. All right, next we've got a bit of an update from Hertz and their Tesla rental program. We know, of course, about the Model 3 order and their massive ad campaign last fall. Now Hertz has updated the electric vehicles portion of their website to include the Tesla Model Y, and it says, quote, meet the newest addition to Hertz EV fleet, Model Y, and see why you should reserve one for your next adventure, end quote. There is also a Book a Tesla Model Y button, but doesn't really seem to be fully built out yet, kind of just links you to the same thing that the Book a Tesla Model 3 button does. But if nothing else, probably a decent indicator that Hertz is planning to add a significant number of Model Ys to their fleet. Also interesting to note that they list the Model Y as 7 seats. If they're buying the 7-seat version for their entire fleet, it would be nice to have that little bit of extra margin from that higher level configuration. Now, the reason I say this is only a bit of an update and not presenting this as bigger news is because back in October, we did see references to the Tesla Model Y on Hertz's website as coming soon. So the page update is new and it does look like they're a little bit further in that process, but the reference to Model Y itself is not entirely new. On a somewhat related note, I hadn't seen this program mentioned before, but Teslarati brought it up in an article today. Shell, the gas company Shell, is renting out Tesla Model 3s and Model Ys on sort of a lease structure in Germany. They offer this for other electric vehicles as well, and it's sort of an all-inclusive package for 1 or 2 years and varying numbers of miles, depending on what you want to select, and it's sort of all-inclusive. It includes insurance, tires, maintenance, and a Shell Recharge charging card that allows free charging at Shell stations up to the number of miles that you designate with the subscription. Unfortunately, the frequently asked section here for Shell Recharge doesn't answer why they're doing this. It is in partnership with a company called Fleetpool, I would guess, just to try to help get their charging stations off the ground. Definitely an interesting model and probably working very well with how residual values have been so far. All right, next, just a couple of updates on Giga Texas. We've been seeing Model Ys stack up in the parking lot. Joe Tegmeyer in a drone flyover video today spotted a couple of car carriers there now. Obviously could be for any number of reasons. We'll have to see if that continues. And then the other thing on Giga Texas, for some reason, Bloomberg and other outlets covering this today. Like I said, kind of a slow news day, but like we had talked about, Tesla has been granted approval to host the GigaFest event at Giga Texas. But for some reason, Bloomberg pointing out that a representative for the Colorado River Conservancy has objected to that approval. Unabashedly political here, saying, quote, I urge you to consider rejecting this permit and forcing Tesla to delay their celebration until they start treating the community in eastern Travis County as more than a workforce for Elon Musk, but rather as neighbors and partners, end quote. Okay, sounds like a great reason to delay that event. Anyway, it's approved, so non-story. All right, last couple of things here. First, we've got an update from Stellantis and LG. They have jointly announced that they're intending to build a $4 billion battery factory in Windsor, Canada, with construction scheduled to begin later this year and operations planned to launch in the first quarter of 2024. Eventually, they plan to have annual battery production capacity in excess of 45 gigawatt hours. Next, a quick update from Toyota. They have announced an $826 million stock buyback. It sounds like they completed that today. Toyota not really hurting for cash, but I don't know, maybe during this period of disruption, not the best time to buy back stock, especially given their electric vehicle plans, but also not surprising, and I would expect that would continue. And then last item for today, just a couple of SpaceX pricing updates. So SpaceX has raised the price for both monthly service and the hardware for Starlink. The terminal is increasing from $499 to $549 for deposit holders and $599 for all new orders. Definitely a little bit disappointing to see the increase even for deposit holders. And then they've also increased the price of monthly service from $99 up to $110. SpaceX says that the sole purpose of these adjustments is to keep pace with rising inflation. If you do not wish to continue your service, you can cancel at any time and return your Starlink hardware within your first year of service for a partial refund of $200. CNBC also reports that the starting prices for Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rocket launches also increased by about 8%. They say that the Falcon 9 launch will now cost $67 million, up from $62 million previously, and a Falcon Heavy would cost $97 million, up from $90 million. SpaceX's vice president of commercial sales said that, quote, it's long overdue and it's just the cost of everything. I don't even think that covers the cost of everything we're experiencing, everything from helium to gas to my humans. You've got to pay people so much now, it's such a competitive market, end quote. So we've talked a lot about how for Tesla's price increases, I think the price increases are likely to outpace increase in cost of goods sold, or at least portions of COGS that are rising. I do still believe that'll be the case, but it's also not meant to diminish that there are cost increases that are going to affect some things for Tesla as well. Luckily, Tesla's got a lot of things working in their favor to offset those. All right, that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, March 24th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.